Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's the opening theme. So it's supposed to be. Hello? Okay, we're not having an opening theme today because it won't work. But hey, anyway, it's good to be back after a long, what we call a hiatus. Mr. Hollywood himself, Joel Casey, who is here to provide us with some information on what's going on in the world of film, movies, and more exciting stuff in the entertainment industry. This is not, folks, this is not a gossip show. We are traffic in gossip, and we are a Kardashian-free zone. So thanks for stepping in and putting on your headphones and listening to Talk 34. How you doing there, Joel?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be on hiatus. I auditioned for Naked and Afraid. Didn't get it. I auditioned for Suicide Squad. Didn't get it. And, you know, the last thing I auditioned for was an off-Broadway version of Cats, and I didn't get it. So I guess I'm back here with you, man.
How unlucky. I know you deserved every one of those roles, too, so... And I'm sorry to hear that.
Yep.
In more news, I was offered 3 more roles as a homeless guy, which is a shock to everyone. It's good to be, you know, the best part about being typecast is being cast. So,
you play
more
a homeless guy so well.
I do. You know, I studied the role. I'm kind of a character actor, so I decided to take on the role of being homeless and learned during that course of time how to look and feel and act like a homeless guy. So, you know, when I have a lot to offer. I have more to offer than just my homelessness, but that's okay. Hey, I'm working, and that's a good thing. Hey, today's going to be a fun show. We've got the cast and the director of a new television series called Danny's Bucket List. So after our Hollywood report, we're going to welcome Rochelle Henry, Simon King, Connor Newell, and Eli Stevenson. Connor, I hope I got your name right. We'll ask you when you get on here. So that's going to be a fun show. We're going to talk about the creative process behind it, what the show is, how it got going, and all that fun stuff. So until then, Mr. Non-Gossip Hollywood News Guy, take us away. What's going on in the world of movies?
Well, where do I start? Oh, gosh. Wow. I actually wanted to talk about a little bit of, as everyone's aware, Game of Thrones just ended their 6th season a couple weeks ago.
And a lot of people,
it was a great ending. A lot of people didn't like it, but, you know, go figure, it's Game of Thrones, they'll do whatever they want.
I thought it was fantastic.
No, I thought it was great, too. Game of Thrones, I always say their season finale or their second-to-last episode never disappoints. It's either going to blow you away or it's going to hit you right in the mouth with a oh-my-God moment.
Yeah, I'm not going to do any spoilers, but I will say the lesson I learned is do not mess with Cersei Lannister. That's the lesson I learned. Okay, we'll move on.
Sorry
about that.
So... the creators of the show have officially gone on record that there's only going to be 2 more seasons of Game of Thrones.
Well, that's kind of a bummer. I wanted it to go on forever.
Yeah, well, apparently they sat down with executives at HBO and they mapped out a plan where they'll do 2 more seasons, but they're going to be really short seasons. And I mean, like, really, really short. A lot of people complained, the seasons are not long enough. You know, they're only, 10 episodes a season. They're really not going to like the plan that they're going to map out for season 7 and season 8. Season 7 is reportedly only going to have 7 episodes.
Wow. Yeah, that's not going to make everybody who's a big hyper fan real happy.
No, but what they're doing is they're actually going to film both seasons back to back. Season 8 will have 6 episodes reportedly.
Wow. So only 13 more episodes of Game of Thrones, and then I got to find something else to obsess over?
Yes, yes. I kind of like this because my biggest issue with TV shows, and I believe I've said this plenty of times on the show, I don't like it when shows go overboard with, like, seasons. I think certain shows should end after certain seasons, and Game of Thrones is one of those shows.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Sometimes shows go a little too far and they lose their edge and they lose their popularity. You know, the British have been doing for years over in the UK. They say we're going to do X amount of seasons and then we're done, or we're just going to do one season and then we're done. So I think we have learned a lot from British television when it comes to something like that. You know, you see so many series go on for years, people quit watching it or takes on a different meaning than it did at the beginning. So I get what you're saying. I'm still going to miss it.
Well, yeah, and I think that's where television right now is becoming so strong is because we're taking a lot of those, we're adapting a lot of stuff that British television would do. Like you said, shorter seasons, a tighter story. I would rather have a shorter season and a tighter story and like an overall great experience over exposure. Basically, I prefer quality over quantity.
I think people would agree with you there.
Yeah. And I wanted to discuss my next news is an issue that I'm having is, as we all know, Suicide Squad is coming out this week.
Hooray. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And there is actually an online petition right now that started on change.org for the website Rotten Tomatoes to be shut down because fans are really upset with the critics' reviews of Suicide Squad.
Fans are upset with the reviews.
Yes. Yeah, basically, there's been so much hype for Suicide Squad to the point where it's almost equal to, like, the excitement of Deadpool, you know? People are excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something new. It's something fresh. But the critics are not liking it. And
uh-oh.
I understand where the fans are coming from, so I decided to do a little more research as to why this film is, like, getting, you know, not as good reviews as it should be. Apparently, Warner Brothers Studios was desperate to have a third film in their DC Extended Universe after Man of Steel
mm-hmm.
and Batman vs. Superman that they greenlit Suicide Squad really quickly. And I have notes right here that says one of the issues was that they set up an ambitious release date that was set before the script had been written by the writer and director David Ayer. So essentially,
wow.
they announced all those films in like a couple of years ago. You know, they announced Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad, Justice League, Aquaman, and so on and so forth. Then they announced with that release of Suicide Squad, the script hadn't even been written yet.
Wow, that is ambitious. That's beyond ambitious.
Yeah, that's literally like, and David Ayer, who he wrote the scripts for Training Day, End of Watch, Fury. He's never done a big tentpole film like this. So the executives at Warner Brothers decided to bring on multiple editors during post-production. And there was actually two versions of the film. There was his version and the studio's version. And guess which one the studio decided to go with?
Well, I'm having worked with the occasional studio. I'm going to go with that the studio went with their own version.
Yes, because apparently it's a lighter version. David Ayer's was more somber, and they went with their version because after a test, both cuts came back as, this is a quote, very common ground place, a studio cut and its highly stylized character introduction Brooklyn Nets winning the day. So apparently, and I just wanted to, well, this gets me to my point. Movie studios, if any of you guys are listening, please stop butting in on your directors, your writers, your editors. This is ruining the creative process. I understand that you want to, you know, you're trying to improve your bottom line at the end of the day. You're trying to make as much money as possible. But at the same time, you are stifling creativity. And it's hurting these films. It shows this summer how many sequels that came out this summer were box office bombs because they weren't as good creatively.
Yeah, I tell you what, as someone who is a writer and an actor and so on, you hate to see the higher ups step in and mess with your what you've created artistically. And in the same manner, I look at the studio and I know they're in it for one reason and one reason only, and that is to make money for their shareholders. So it's a very fine line to walk.
Yeah, I understand, you know, being in that business, you're trying to make money. But also, you shouldn't do that while pushing down creativity. The only time studios really ever make money, in my opinion, is when they let a director-writer go with it. You know, like, take the ball and run. Because, you know, someone like Christopher Nolan, you know, who's a great writer, director, you know, when they come to him, he gets very little input from the studio because he basically says, I'm going to do it this way. If you don't like it, I'm going somewhere else, essentially.
Right.
And this gets into my next news that, you know, Star Wars Rogue One, that's coming out this December, apparently had extensive reshoots over the summer because Disney was not satisfied with director Gareth Edwards' first cut of the film. Apparently, his first cut of the film was a lot darker than they had anticipated.
Interesting.
And it came to the point where a very accomplished screenwriter, Tony Gilroy, he wrote a couple of the Jason Bourne films and Michael Clayton. He came on to do some rewriting for that movie, but also apparently he was also on hand to do some of the reshoots as well. So he was not only rewriting, but he was also new scenes that are going to be put into the film.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, and this goes back to what I said. You know, I can understand why Disney wants to do this because, you know, the success of Star Wars, The Force Awakens, you know, they're like, okay, we need to get it a little bit lighter. But the reason why Disney wanted to do these standalone anthology films was because it was something different outside of, you know, the normal Star Wars films we were accustomed to seeing. But
right.
this is another thing of the studio butting in on the creativity of a director. And I don't really like to slam Disney in because, you know, they do a good job with letting Marvel do their thing, letting Pixar do their thing. And it's just, like I said, studios, you need to stop. You're ruining creativity. This is getting to the point where you're just going to have robots as directors.
Yeah, there's a lot of following just the same script, if you'll pardon the use of the word script. It's following a script that makes it a particular way. It has to start out this way, it has to have this in the middle, and it has to end this way. And, you know, the bottom line is this particular process makes money, so that's why they use it.
Yeah, as I brought up Marvel, the directors, Joe Russo and Anthony Russo, they went on record saying when Marvel hires a director, they hire a director, then they have a sit down with the editor, writer, producers, so they're all on the same page. what it looks like with Star Wars and what they're doing is they already have the writers, editors, producers already mapped out the story. They're just getting a director to come on and follow the rules. And what I think they should do is don't just choose like the hottest director, you know, out right now. Choose a director that understands what you're doing. Because if you bring on a director that has different ideas, you're going to butt heads with them.
Mm-hmm,
because that
sure.
also ruins creativity also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody needs to be on the same page and looking for the same thing. I agree.
Yeah, and it really frustrates me. It's just because I'm such a big fan of film, and I hate it when I see stories like this come out where it's just like, well, we couldn't do it this way because, you know, so-and-so. This is the same issue Warner Brothers had in the 90s with the Batman films. Like with Batman
yeah.
Forever and Batman and Robin, the reason why
mm-hmm.
they steered away from the Tim Burton version was because they weren't selling that much merchandise. They only made those films because they could sell a lot of merchandise.
Interesting. Yeah, well, it is the profit motive that drives studio films. And we've all seen it happen, and many of us have been disappointed by such a thing. In the same manner, without the big studios, we're not going to get big films. You know, you got to take the bad with the good, I guess. But I agree with you 100% in that it does stifle the creative process when you're just looking at the bottom line.
Yeah, it's just once directors and creative people and studios can get on the same page, we can see quality entertainment rise again, because it seems like everything else is just a sequel, prequel, or remake now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've been complaining about that for quite a while now, that there's just a void on creativity and making a unique film, except in the indie areas of filmmaking. But the studios are kind of giving us pre-made, pre-packaged films that are made by a process. And, you know, not that every movie that comes out of a studio is bad or that I don't enjoy it. There's a lot that I have enjoyed very much. But we just see it, we don't see it in the same capacity that we would like to see it as far as creativity. I agree 100%, Joel.
Yeah, for like every Captain America Civil War, there's a Teenage Mutant Ninja, there's like a 10 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of the shadows, you know, and it's just, I know that's a terrible, hey, sorry for everybody that's listening that watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of the shadows, sorry, that movie was not that good, sorry.
yeah, the opinions of the
yeah,
Hollywood
that is my...
host are his alone. And do
yep.
you reflect the opinions of Doc 34? I just had to get
yes,
that out
yes,
there.
But this is not Mark did not write this. That's
no.
my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
I'm far too lazy. But anyway, Joel, we're going to move on here. We'll probably come back to doing some more Hollywood rumors and film rumors and so on in a bit. But I got people on the horn that I really am excited to get to. So we're going to introduce them here as they are sitting here in the studio in line. Isn't that right, guys? So first off, let me introduce to you the person who set this all up for me and is a very talented young actress and filmmaker in her own way. I want to say hi, and everybody welcome, Rochelle Henry. Hey, Rochelle.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
Hey, there she is. Now, if she sounds familiar, Talk 34 fans, that's because she's been on before interviewing Ed Gertner here, the Disney legend, on the show. So it's great to have her back, and she approached me about doing an interview, and I said, absolutely. In fact, I said, whatever you want, Rochelle, I believe.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, no, the pleasure is all ours, and we appreciate you coming on. And we're excited to talk about Danny's bucket list. Let's see who else we got here. I've got, looks like, one second here. All right. I believe we have Simon King on. Hello, Simon.
Hello there. How are you?
Hey.
Hi,
thank
Rochelle.
Thank you for coming on, Simon.
Hi, Simon.
Oh, absolutely. Hi.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about this and the creative process behind the show. Also have a couple more talented actors on board, a couple of young, talented gentlemen. right here. I'm going to introduce you to Eli Stevenson. Eli, do you go by Elijah or Eli?
I go by Eli. It's just easier.
All right. Eli Stevenson, also part of this show, Danny's Bucket List, and a young up-and-coming, very talented actor that we're looking forward to chatting with today. And last
hey,
but certainly,
hey.
Yes, say hi, hello, yes. Last but certainly not least, we'll introduce Mr. Connor Mole. Is it Mole or Mule, or how would you like me to pronounce it, Connor?
Hi guys, it's Mole.
Mole, Connor Mole. Another young talented actor who has agreed to come on and talk about Danny's Bucket List. We're really excited. We got 6 people on the air right now, so forgive me if I lose control of the situation. You can fight and argue all you want, but please no wagering. Okay.
I just want to say the name Connor Mall, that screams movie stardom right there.
And he's our Hollywood guy, so he knows. So hey, thanks.
Probably a good reason for that.
Yeah. Oh, there. Yeah, believe me. Yeah, thanks to all you guys for coming on, guys and girl. I don't want anybody to think I'm leaving out Rochelle Henry. Nobody leaves out Rochelle Henry.
I don't
know. Yeah. So thanks, everybody, for coming on. I'm excited to talk about Danny's Bucket List. Simon, why don't you give us an idea of kind of what the film is about or what the show is about? My apologies.
Sure. Danny's Bucket List is about a young girl, Danny, played by Rochelle. A typical, shall we say, modern teenage high school girl. And the events that happen to her and around her life. Each episode is dramatic in nature, but there's plenty of humor thrown in to keep with the feeling of how teenagers do talk and do interact. You know, they don't live a life of drama, although it seems like it sometimes. On a minute by minute basis, there's plenty of good funny lines being thrown around and you know, visual takes on things. And each episode is fairly brief, you know, about 15 minutes or so, and deals with a specific incident that comes into Danny's life, either directly through her or through friends or people she meets.
Excellent. All right. Well, that sounds like both fun and a little bit of dramatic influence as well. So looking forward to seeing this. Sounds great. Now, Rochelle, you played Danny. Tell us a little bit about her.
Danny is a very fun girl who's excited to figure out what she's going to do with her life. And the bucket list is things that she wants to do before she turns 20. So that's all of these cool adventures that she wants to go on, people she wants to meet, just scenarios in her life that she wants to go through. And some of them she doesn't want to happen, but they do because that is part of life. But it's definitely a coming-of-age learning thing.
Yeah. Is there any, does this reflect any on the actual life of Rochelle Henry at all? Do we find any of Rochelle in Danny?
Some of my personality quirks are in there, but I haven't gone through any of the scenarios that she has in the first two episodes. So, so far nothing, but it'd be fun while she learns certain things, like maybe if she goes skydiving or if she learns to play guitar or travels, that I would at the same time also be going through that. So that would be fun to get to do that.
Yeah. Well, you don't exactly live a boring existence, Rochelle. That's why I was asking. So anyway, yeah, sorry.
I was going to add that, as a writer, I've taken sort of writer's prerogative and spun the concept of a bucket list a little bit because, you know, I suppose a lot of people might view a bucket list of I've got to get these things done before I die or before a certain age, which some of these episodes will be about. But it's also about the things that happen to and happen around Danny that become part of of who she is because of how she's had to react to them. The second episode, for instance, she discovers a friend that she knows a little bit well from high school, and the friend turns out to possibly be pregnant. Now, that's not something, obviously, that Danny's like, I can't wait till I'm pregnant. You know, that's a goal of mine. But she learns a lot from that, right? She learns how to deal with this situation that she's never encountered before. So there is a bucket list aspect to it, but there's also life adventures that just happen to her, even though she didn't plan for it.
Gotcha. And to add to that point, one thing about like me and Danny that's similar is that my friends are in this show. I've known both Connor and Eli for many, many years. So our chemistry on screen is real, and we've done multiple projects together. Even the three of us have worked on projects together. And we also have Madison Lane, who I've worked with, I think, once before, and Sophie Guyberson, who I've known for a while. So all of us have known each other for a little while, so when you watch our chemistry on screen, even if our characters don't know each other as well, there still is that spark, and that's because we all know each other and we're all friends. So that's something that's similar to me.
That's great. Yeah, it's always good to work with someone you know, and it creates a little more chemistry, and you learn to feed off of one another that way.
Hey, Simon, I hope you don't mind me interrupting. I just have a question for Simon. This show, was there ever any teen shows from the past that you draw inspiration from for this? Because I'm getting a little feel of My So-Called Life in this show.
There's any number of them. Yes, My So-Called Life, Degrassi, you know, you could even go more modern and say Pretty Little Liars or, Freaks and Geeks, you know, I mean, the list is quite endless. And I was aware of that as I was writing, but as a producer, what I was looking to do was take that well-established genre and move it to a platform that teenagers are more comfortable with. In other words, you know, if I ask if you ask the other three folks on the line here, where do they watch their content? They're not sitting in front of a big flat screen TV. They might be sitting in front of a PC, you know, a laptop, but more than likely what they're watching content on and what they're sharing content on is their cell phone. And so the show was designed with that in mind. The shots are very close and intimate rather than, you know, grandeur type shots. But yes, there's definitely a nod and a wink to well-established shows of the past.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great, yeah, that's great. Hey, I want to get Elijah and Connor in here too. I mean, Eli, sorry, Eli. So let's start with, hey, Eli, you're there with us still. You haven't hung up on me yet. Good,
nope.
Good. Glad to hear it, man, because, you know, sometimes people get bored and they go their own way. No, I'm just messing with you. Eli, tell us a little bit about who you are in the show, your character, and so on.
I'm Danny's brother. His name is Trevor. She calls me Trev. It's kind of, you know, my little name. But I play the overprotective brother. I'm not quite as quirky, I guess you could say, as some of the other characters, but my character is a little more down to earth, doesn't really like to get into the social drama or anything a lot like that, which I can relate to because, I don't know, personally I try to stay out of drama and such. But yeah, he really tries to just make sure she stays out of trouble and that she doesn't make any huge mistakes that will, you know, affect her. You know, too much.
Yeah.
he tries to keep
so
you stuck.
Good luck,
like
Trev.
Your character likes to keep drama to a minimum just like you do. I see. That's very good.
Yeah.
Not always easy to do.
Eli's very laid back.
He's a good big brother. He's a really good brother.
Sounds like something I could relate to. except for the whole sister thing. I mean, I have a sister, but she's like ancient. Okay, I hope she's not listening. Anyway,
if I may, there was a the first scene that Eli acted in was sort of a confrontation between brother and sister, and you know everyone was going by the script perfectly, and everything was flowing the way I had intended. And Eli was playing it really sort of low key, almost to the point where it's like, you know, the audio guy is, I'm not sure if I can hear him. And then he starts to react to stuff that Danny is saying. And he went off. And I'm like, wow, where'd this come from? This is great.
Yeah,
that's a brother would react. And it came out, it really came out for me as the writer and director, it came out of nowhere that he would know to take that leap. I didn't give him that direction, which I love with these guys. They don't need the direction. They just need a script, and I say, act like teenagers, and boom, there they go. So.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, that's so hard.
No question that the talent there is deep, and it's great when somebody is directable as well as someone who can take the initiative and really turn a character into a character. That's great.
Absolutely, and I know you're probably going to ask Connor a question, and there's another guy. I'll get into that in a minute, but there's another guy who didn't need direction. He brought his own story to the show, and it was incredible.
Let's get to Connor then. Connor, are you there?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm here.
What do I mean? Are you there? Of course, we're all sitting in a studio together. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm trying to give that image, you know, we really are a radio show. Anyway,
does anybody
Connor.
Need coffee? Coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joel, hey, turn your mic off though. I'm just kidding, dude. I'm just kidding. But Connor, tell us about a little bit about your character.
My character's name is Kyle. Trevor was, not Trevor, Eli was talking about keeping Danny from making mistakes along the ride of her bucket list, and I happen to be one of those mistakes.
you are.
Yeah. I play Kyle. He's kind of a player, kind of a lovable player from my perspective, probably from no one else's perspective, but I don't know. Near decent enough guy, but he was he's fun to play. He's gonna be coming back around later on with some new surprises, and I'm looking forward to that.
I don't know if I would go with lovable player, but that's me talking as a parent.
But Kyle has a lot of dimensions that we don't even know about, so
me,
when he comes back, we're gonna learn more about him.
Just kidding.
We're just getting started.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Well,
now he wants to be lovable, but when the first time he was on camera and he walked over toward Rochelle and there's a little bit of an interaction, as a parent, I was sort of taken aback and went, "Well, that's perfect, but it's damn creepy."
Oh God. Yeah, I think that was after the first take, that was what Simon said to me, was, Connor, you're weird.
it threw me a bit off guard, to be honest, but it was so perfect. It was so perfect.
Yeah, it was. It worked out great.
Connor's character was Heathers from JD from Heathers.
Yes.
Yes, totally.
We work in one of the few industries where being weird can actually be a positive. So that's good. Good for you, Connor.
definitely true. That's why I love this industry.
Yeah. So you guys, it sounds like you had a great time working together, putting this together. It sounds like you all are very much behind this project, and that's exciting to hear. I'm curious, and Rochelle, if you could give me a bit of information. I'm curious about the backstory of how this all came together. I know that you were involved with kind of putting things together, and you had an idea.
I was. So Simon and I have known each other for a while because we've worked on other projects together in the past, And so for the last 2 years, he and I have talked about, okay, we should work on a script together. We came back and forth about ideas and other projects. And I was talking about how some of my friends are very talented actors, but it's so hard for actors to get footage for their reels. And for such great actors, like, that's what they need. For, like, Eli and for Connor. And, I mean, Eli played Steve Zahn's son and Viggo Mortensen's nephew in Captain Fantastic, and he can't get that footage for a long time because the film's just getting released. So, and it's such good, and it's such good footage. It went to Sundance, Cannes, SIFF. So getting that footage is going to be hard. So getting something for an actor's reel is very important. So we were talking about what can we do to get these kids some footage. And for me, I mean, I have a lot of footage, but it'd be nice to have something more light and comedic because a lot of my work is a bit dark and dramatic. So it'd be nice to get something that's more like normal, well, not normal, but more like happy, bubbly, comedic, you know, more in the up side.
Sure.
So we were
more
talking
like you
about
are in real life.
Like, yeah, more like my actual personality. And so Simon then said, okay, I'm going to start writing something. And so he did, and he came up with a script. And eventually that led from being just a short or a scene to being a series. So that's kind of the birth of Danny's bucket list right there.
Nice. And so
and it's interesting to keep in – it's
ahead,
interesting
sorry,
to keep
Simon
in mind, I actually
and,
went, sorry.
No, it's good. Simon jumped in and was ready to run with it, and that's awesome to be able to collaborate with someone that you enjoy working with. Go ahead, Simon, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I went back and checked on the dates today, keeping in mind that this show premieres on August 26th. Rochelle and I had that initial discussion on February 7th. So you do the math, but that sounds like about 6 months from scratching our heads to finished product, just like
that's,
that. And it's
that's an amazing.
It's amazing.
Right there. Yeah.
Well, and add to that that we shot 20 pages in 2 days. So we had an incredible crew. Our director of photography, Ken Luba, is a legend in
He's
the
brilliant.
Pacific Northwest. You know, he's actually even older than I am, and he has the awards on his wall and everywhere around his house to show for it. We didn't deserve someone as good as that, and we didn't deserve the crew that we got, because these are all people who, you know, normally work on Hollywood productions, and here they are working on Danny's Bucket List, you know, and getting sandwiches that were made by my wife. So, you know, it's not quite
amazing.
The same, but we did enough. We did a fantastic – not we. They did – everybody did a fantastic job of putting this thing together, and I'm really, really excited. It's in post right now. We're just doing audio sweetening, but it looks brilliant. It really does.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And about the reels.
Go ahead. I almost called you Danny. How long have we known each other, and I almost called you Danny, for goodness sake.
It's okay. So about like our after reels, like getting the footage, it's hard to get ones, especially like it's hard to get your footage, but it's hard to get ones with really good production value. And getting Ken, with his amazing cinematography and the rest of the crew, we have good production value. So it looks like it's a professionally made film, and it is a professionally made film. So when it goes on our reel, and people can then say, oh, what's that show? And then they Google it. They're like, oh, this is a really good show. Look at the production value. Look at the acting. Look at all of this. So we did it so everyone can get super excited and can watch it and be like, wow, this could be on TV.
Yeah, that's amazing that came together the way it did. That's fantastic.
Well, and I have to I have to mention that, you know, as a business person and the producer on this, I, of course, have a long-term vision. It's not just a matter of, oh, cool, let's get people together and make a fun little show. When we reach the end of the first season, if we have the dedicated following that I'm presuming we will be able to get among the young crowd, and as well as it's very family friendly. So I'm hoping for a good wholesome family crowd too.
Yeah.
Then
awesome.
Then we can move it from the small screen to having discussions with the networks and Netflix and Amazon and et cetera, and try and move this into an even huger audience. That's the
yeah.
long term goal.
Are we going to be able to see it online or how are
yes.
so tell my audience to watch it.
So we have the actual premiere in Lake Oswego at the Lake Theater on August 26th. School goes back for most people that week or the very next – well, no, that's a Friday. So it'll be the very next week school goes back, and I intend to have the first episode live that week because I really need the word of mouth of teenagers sharing this with teenagers, sharing this with teenagers. So getting it to them – just as school's getting back and all the kids are hanging out again together, that's my goal. So, yes, you will be able to see it first week of September.
Awesome. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of very family-oriented, entire channels family-oriented and so on. So, and it sounds like such
yes,
a cool
absolutely.
Idea. I can really see this moving forward. You may have already answered this, but you have one or two episodes already in the can?
Two episodes are in the can, are in post-production, and both of those will be shown at the premiere, and then it's followed by a Q&A with the cast and some of the crew. And then I've written two more episodes that I'm fine-tuning at this point. So, we're gonna pick up again here in the fall, and then it's just, it's always a matter, of course, of financing and all of that, but we have a
sure.
a good following so far, and if that following grows, then I'm not too concerned about the financing.
No, excellent. Yeah, and now remember, if you need a homeless guy or just a weird-looking guy, you can always call me. I can also play an orangutan if you've looked at my pictures. I have seen
your picture.
Yeah, my real dad was an orangutan, oddly enough. It's kind of an odd
story. There you go. Well, I was raised by cats.
Mark can be that homeless guy who gives Danny wisdom like every episode. Like just runs into him like offhand.
Kind
of be the Yoda of the show.
Yeah.
Filming here in the Portland area.
With my manager. Yeah. No,
here in the Portland area, there's no shortage of very talented actors who have come to me and say, well, if you need a creepy guy, or if you need a homeless guy, or if you need a biker guy. And so, yeah, so it's pretty – that will not be a problem casting them. There's plenty of them.
Yeah. I'm experienced in all the above. So, anyway, I'll send you
there
my
you
resume.
Go.
I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding.
I know.
But, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. And now the premiere is going to be in the Portland area. Is that right?
It's Lake Oswego, so, yes, Portland
okay.
area.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure everybody is aware what's going on now. I want to get back to I don't want to leave Connor or Eli out. Connor, let me ask you something, man. I've always enjoyed working with Rochelle. We've been in like three different projects together. Mm-hmm. But she bugging you the whole time because she can really push your buttons, you know?
Yeah, no, not at all. She's one of my dearest friends. I've known her since I was.
Yeah.
Is it 5 years now, Rochelle?
Yes, it's been 5 years just a few weeks ago.
I'm just messing with you because I just want to. I've never heard anybody say a negative thing about Rochelle Henry, and so I'm always trying to push. But I guess it's just not going to happen, Rochelle. You're just too nice to everybody. You're too talented.
Yeah.
So what can you do? Yeah, no, she's great to work with. And now, Eli.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you something real quick. Captain Fantastic, I noticed do you got any Vicko stories for me?
Oh, you beat me to my question, man.
I mean, I'm a popular guy, right?
Yeah.
So, on-set stories, anything like that?
Yeah, anything. Just throw us a Viggo Mortensen bone, man.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was a really good experience, and we had gone down to New Mexico for filming. There was like a one scene down there, but we went down there and we were in this big old church, and it was a really beautiful church, and there was you know, grassy lawns everywhere, and it was just nice. But we had some scenes where we had to sit in a car, a big black SUV with tinted windows, in, I don't know, 100 degree heat. And it was, I felt like I was in an oven. Like, you could tell once we got out of the car, you could see through our shirts, you know, we were soaked.
Wow, yeah.
We had to kind of air dry a little bit before we shot the scenes. And, I just thought that was kind of funny. It's never really happened to me before.
Yeah, that's a hot place to shoot, man, for sure, especially in a black
really
car.
Is.
Sounds
yeah,
dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just that's people
we
don't
needed
leave
to stay hydrated
in a hot car.
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
They'll
yeah.
be fine.
Well,
don't worry about them.
So,
well, I wanted to tell Eli something. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Mark. I just wanted to say I did see Mr. Captain Fantastic the other day at Regal, Auburn Cinema 17, and I just want to say I thought it was a great film. I thought it was really fantastic.
Thank you. I mean, Matt did an amazing job on it. You know, I mean, he put his heart and soul in it, really. But yeah, it was really great.
Right on, man. Right on. Now,
it's a beautiful
another
film.
Question. Great. Another question for you guys. Was the entirety of Danny's Bucket List shot in the Portland metro area?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Okay.
Predominantly Lake Oswego. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Lake Oswego. Lake Oswego, we shot at Lake Ridge High School, which is in Lake Oswego. We shot in Bridgeport Village, which is in Tigard, even though it feels like Tualatin. And then we shot in a medical office, which is also in Lake Oswego.
Okay. Yeah, Oregon's very well known for being friendly to films and television and so on. So I've had the opportunity to shoot down there 7 or 8 times. And it's locations are great everywhere, and they seem to be really, really helpful when it comes to making movies and television shows. So that's awesome. You're right there in the middle of it. So
yeah, I mean, again, this area has obviously amazing acting talent, but there's some outrageous crew available around here. As I said, Ken, who was also the associate producer on this project, was definitely someone who helped us attract the rest of the crew talent who normally might have thought twice about, you know, joining a teenage show. But we had a great crew, and I think it helps being up here in the Northwest because there's just some amazing talent. Love it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Fantastic. I love working
with you. And I forgot to say that we had two other great actors on there. We had Glenn Baggerly, who I've worked with before and absolutely adore working with. He's amazing. And then also Candy Cadell. Am I saying her name right, Simon?
Yeah.
She played my mom.
Yeah.
She did awesome.
Okay.
They did a great scene together that I'm so excited for everyone to see.
Well, and I will tell you, at the premiere, which is, I think there's only like 10 seats left now, any parent, and especially any dad in the audience, is going to have a hard time not crying when Glenn delivers his lines, because he just knocked it out of the park, and it's so emotional. It's frightening. So, brilliant
right,
actor.
Huh?
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I gotta commend you, because it's very difficult to do a lighthearted, you know, fun show, but still have emotional moments like that. So it's not
that's
easy.
That's the way life is.
It sounds like you did it. It's very true. It's very true. Yeah. So,
yeah, life sucks an awful lot, but there's also some good fun stuff going along. So you got to mix it all together.
That's fantastic. So yeah, thanks, Simon, for the insight. Now, when can you give us a little bit of insight on how you approached actually writing this? I mean, what inspired you to go for specifically the idea that a young lady wants to do certain things before she's 20?
Right. Well, I suppose, first of all, it helps that I have 5 children of my own and 3 grandchildren. And when I'm not doing film work in the evenings, I tutor mathematics and writing to high school kids. So pretty much my entire life, I've, you know, after I was no longer a teenager, I have been around teenagers. And that made it really easy for me to envision situations that would happen to teenagers and how they might handle it, and more importantly, how they might talk about it. I'm very proud and happy to say that, you know, when Rochelle and the rest of the cast read this, they were like, this is how I would talk. This is, you know, this makes sense. So that was good. And, you know, as I said, Rochelle and I talked back in February. We threw around a couple of ideas, and then I just sat down and sort of put my own experiences into it of people I've been around, and it fell together so quickly. I think I wrote the first draft in like 2 days and gave it back to Rochelle and said, here's where I think I'm going with this. And, you know, we took it from there.
Sounds inspired. That's fantastic. It's inspiration you know, being someone who is involved deeply with people in a similar situation can really make or break a film, especially the dialogue. And it sounds like you nailed the dialogue. When the kids come back to you and say, this is it, that's something to be proud of. That's cool.
And hearing it coming out of their mouth, you know, it's one thing to put it on the page, but when you see it come out of, not see, but when you hear it come out of a teenager's mouth and you go, that sounds honest. You know, it's on the page, but that's one thing, but it coming out of their mouth, it's like, that's typical dialogue. I hear it all the time with the people who I'm around. So I felt very comfortable with that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Mr. Hollywood, you want to jump in with some questions?
Yeah, I wanted to agree with what Simon said. You know, What really frustrates me the most is when I would watch a show about teenagers, you know, growing up and dealing with life issues, they all sound like they are, you know, writers working at the New York Post or something. Aaron Sorkin once talks like that. But I wanted to say I commend you, Simon, for actually having them talk, you know, like regular teenagers, you know, and I really like that, and that makes me even more excited for the show.
Well, I appreciate that, and I would throw this over to Connor and Eli and Rochelle to make sure that I'm not just blowing smoke, you know, as far as how they felt about it.
Yeah, what'd you guys think of the dialogue?
Who goes first?
Go ahead, Connor.
Okay, I guess I'll go first.
Pick a number, 1 through 10.
I really like the dialogue, actually. I totally see what Simon is saying, and you know, you watch some of these shows, and teenagers don't talk like that. You know, you'd never hear a teenager say some of the stuff that they're saying, so... And it kind of takes you out of the story, and it's kind of a shame because a lot of TV shows, you know, they have great stories, great actors, and then you hear them say some of the stuff, it's like, what, how, you know? I think it's really underestimated in how important good dialogue is, you know? I mean, it keeps you engaged in the story. It keeps you... you know, wanting more, and it doesn't let you break from it, and that's what any TV show strives for, is to, you know, give you good content that can really, I don't know, engage you.
Yeah, great point.
Exactly.
Yeah. Rochelle, you were comfortable with the way things were written?
Definitely. I had some really great dialogue with both Eli and Connor, and then also with Madison and Sophie and Candy and Glenn, all of them, especially with, I think especially the opening scene with me and Eli, I think especially that one nails, like, two teenage siblings. I don't have any siblings, but from what I know, that is, like, how siblings talk to each other. So so it definitely had that feel. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
I don't have
right.
siblings. I don't know. But I think it's right. Well, that's
yeah.
why I have friends, and they can tell me what it's like.
Yeah.
It can be
like,
my fake sibling.
Much easier that way. Yeah, well, you know,
yeah.
fake only to a point. That's, yeah, see, so it sounds like Simon, you did quite the job on the dialogue, which is the, to me, as a writer, is it's something you focus so hard on. You know, you want to have great dialogue, and it doesn't come easy for a lot of people. So that's awesome. And the kids just jumped in and said, yeah, for us.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you find about teens is they tend not to talk in monologues, right? They don't go on for 10 minutes going on and on and on. So many times in scripts that I get sent that people want me to produce or whatever, I say, wow, you know, interesting idea, but why are these people talking for 3 minutes at a time? You know, people talk in staccato, short little bits with plenty of ellipses at the end of each thought. And that's exactly how you'll find the dialogue in this. It's very, with the exception of Glenn's scene, it's very short bits and pieces, back and forth, back and forth. So I have
cool.
fun writing
short
it.
And sweet.
And they did a great job delivering it.
So essentially they're not giving speeches at Harvard, technically.
Exactly. Although people tell me I talk too much, but that's a different story.
Well, see, that's why I started a radio show, is because people didn't just suggest I talk too much, but would sit me down and tell me, Mark, come on, you talk too much. Why don't you get a radio show? So, you know,
right,
that's
you.
How things worked out for me. You know, and I think everybody likes it, because now I don't talk to them as much. Yeah, you know, I get so my family, my wife especially, seems to enjoy the days I do the show, because I'm kind of talked out and she can relax a little bit for once. She's a great lady. She just has four faces in men. So let me just, I kind of want to wrap things up here. How can our listeners follow Danny's Bucket List? Is there a Facebook page, website, something we can watch?
There is, at the moment we have Instagram and Facebook, both at Danny's Bucket List, one word, no hyphenation. So if they just do hashtag on those, they should find both the Instagram and the Facebook. I just hired a person to handle our social media, and this is something we didn't talk about actually, but yes, we're using young people in front of the camera, but there's a lot of young people behind the camera. The music was composed by a junior in high school. The graphic design was done by a high school girl. Script supervisor, the assistant script supervisor, high school girl. And it was my idea my concept to use as many young people as possible. So now I've hired a young person to do the social media. She's got a Snapchat for us that's going to start broadcasting soon. And all of them will be under the hashtag of Danny's Bucket List. D-A-N-I-S, by the way.
Yes. Oh, I was just going to say that. D-A-N-I, Danny's Bucket List. So, folks, check it out. You got to hear all about it. I was going to add also that the more young people you have involved, the more they're going to be able to focus on the specific audience you're looking for. So that's just a brilliant idea.
I don't mind saying it's a marketing plan of mine. So absolutely not. I mean, that's the difference, sadly, between too many indie films that don't get noticed and those that do get noticed, is that no one's got an idea of how to promote them and how to market them. And
yes.
This has to be promoted to not only teenagers, but to families who are looking for something that's not another zombie film or not another, you know, guns and adult situations film. It's not that I'm a prude, but I think there's a huge market there for quality family entertainment that people can watch, and then discuss around the dinner table, well, do you think she did a good job with how she handled that girl's pregnancy, blah, blah, blah. So that's my plan.
Yeah, that's awesome, and you did a great job of finding some real talent to go along with you and putting that together. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I promise you my audience is going to watch out for it and so on. I just wanted to throw out that we still got some time. Does anybody want to throw at anything, say anything in particular while you're on the show? Okay, sounds
like I feel
like
I've said too much. I feel like I've said too much. So.
Well, it's, you know, you're the director, so you're supposed to. That's just the way things are. You don't get to say anything in front of the camera, so you got to say your stuff behind the scenes. That's just the way it is.
You're the leader
All right.
of the pack.
That's right.
There we go.
Well, hey, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming on the show. We have some nice parting gifts for you. Pick them up as you head out the door of the studio. And so once again, folks, we have Rochelle Henry, Simon King, who's our director-writer, Connor Mole, and Eli Stevenson. And you guys want to do any shout-outs, now's the time to do it.
Shout-out to everybody who was involved with this, and shout-out to everyone who's going to watch it.
All right.
Exactly.
Sounds great. Okay. Well,
shout-outs to you, Mark, for having us on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
It's been my pleasure and my honor, and we will be looking forward to keeping everybody updated on what's going on with Danny's bucket list. I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
I did want to say something before you sign them off. Congratulations. You guys were the first guests on take two of Talk 34.
Woo!
There we go.
That's right. It's an exciting season two kickoff, and it's been a lot of fun. So, thank you, Rochelle. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Connor. And thank you, Eli, for coming on
Alrighty.
And letting us know about this exciting project.
No Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
Goodbye,
you,
guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
All right, Joel. That turned out pretty awesome.
That was great.
Yeah.
I had some really good vibes. I'm really big. I have a guilty pleasure. I'm going to admit this. I kind of like watching shows like that.
Yeah, well. You don't have to feel guilty for watching this one in particular.
Yeah, it's just I was getting a good feeling, like a My So-Called Life, which in my opinion, My So-Called Life is like when you think of like teen shows, that is like at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. A lot of fun. Hey, before we sign off, I want to dedicate this show to a man by the name of Brett Shearer, who I personally never met, but he passed away tragically in an accident here recently. And today, our music guy, Mr. Music, Jeff J. Dub Weister, couldn't be with us because it was a memorial service for Mr. Shearer today. And I never got a chance to meet him, but the way everybody talks about him, I sure wish I had. So the show is dedicated to Brett Shearer and to his family. We just want to say God bless, and we love you guys. Jeff and I had the pleasure of writing a song for the memorial service, and we're going to debut that here, sung by the Uptown Four, here within the next few weeks. And I tell you what.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It ended up, this song, you got to hear it. It ended up just being amazing, and the more people that hear it, the more people come back and tell us how good it is. But that song is written in honor of Brett as well. So I just wanted to mention his name. Today's his day, and the day we remember an exciting and fun life of Brett Shearer. So, but now that
wow.
that's done, yeah, I wanted to get that out there because everybody loves this
yeah.
guy, you know. And
yeah,
you hear
absolutely.
That many good things. You hear that many good things
that's
about
beautiful.
Somebody. Yeah, but hey, you still got some Hollywood news for us? We still got a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I got some big Hollywood news. As you know, last week was Comic-Con. Not week, but like last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, Comic-Con happened. And yeah. I have some Marvel Cinematic Universe news.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
Yeah, as a lot of people are aware, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 comes out next year.
Oh,
and
so
there's
exciting.
Been some, yeah, I'm so excited for this. I'm just.
That's my favorite Marvel movie of all time.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you because it's so original. It's amazing.
Yep.
But what I wanted to say is they revealed some news about the film.
Okay.
Apparently, the story will pick up 2 months after the first film ended. And while the first one was about the creation of a new family with this group, the director, James Gunn, said the second is about them being a family, which is much harder.
Hmm.
But the big reveal was Kurt Russell will be playing Star-Lord's father.
No way. Oh, that's awesome news, man. I love Kurt Russell.
Yeah, but this is the thing. His character is, from the comic books, Ego the Living Planet.
Oh, really? That's Star-Lord's father?
Yeah.
Do you know this now?
Yeah, this not that I'm aware of. I don't know if he is Star-Lord's father in the comic books, but James Gunn went on record as saying Kurt's character is an incredibly important role. For me, he was the center. His character, even before he was around, was the center of what this movie was. We had a great camaraderie on the first film, but when Kurt started coming around, it seemed even better.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff. Like
they could have made it better. Now they added Kurt Russell. Now they really got me intrigued.
Oh, this is even better. Sylvester Stallone reportedly has a role in the film as a member of the Nova Corps.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they're
going to
add. What's that?
It's a Tango and Cash reunion.
It is. I hadn't thought about that. It is a Tango and Cash reunion. Rock and roll, man. And add Tango and Cash to the Guardians of the Galaxy, and you get a giant tub of awesomeness.
Oh, I'm so happy. That's the first thing I thought. I'm like, I hope there's an interaction between them. And just like they do a nod to each other. Hey, you remind me of someone I know. You know, same with you. You know, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, just any little thing like that would be fantastic. Yeah, that's great news,
so,
man. You know how much I love Guardians, so.
Oh, well, you'll even like this even more. On top of that news, a theme ride based on the first film is coming to Disneyland.
Oh, this I read about. Yes, tell us some more.
So basically, you know, the current Disneyland ride, Tower of Terror, is being replaced with drum roll, Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. It's a new ride which the collector has trapped the Guardians in a customized display case suspended over a vast abyss. Rocket Raccoon has escaped and is enlisting guests to help him attempt to break out his fellow Guardians out of captivity.
Oh my gosh. How fun is that?
That is going to be awesome. And what even makes this even better is it should be like this time next year, the theme park will open.
Oh, wow. That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, so after I read that, I started to become under the impression, well, they've been probably working on this for a while now. They must have been working on it for at least a year and a half.
Right. Well, you know what? It makes sense. One, in the sense that Disney's getting Marvel more involved in their theme parks. Two, it makes sense that in that particular part of Disney's California Adventure, or DCA for you insiders, that part of California Adventure is called the back lot. And so that's where a lot of movies and stuff take place, you know, according to the way it up. So it makes sense that the Guardians would be back there in the back lot. And it's replacing a great ride, which the Tower of Terror is a great ride, but it's, Tower of Terror is very Twilight Zone, and not a lot of the younger folks of today know a whole lot about the Twilight Zone and what it is, so I can see how the appeal would be a lot greater.
Yeah, like a lot of, like, and I've heard some complaints online, well, you can't take down Tower of Terror. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, Disney has all these properties, and you know Disney, they like to expand on these properties, and Guardians of the Galaxy being one of their most popular Marvel properties, why not do it? Why not take something out? Because in my opinion, I don't think Tower of Terror, it's kind of past its prime, kind of like the Haunted Mansion. And replace it with something that's, you know, going to attract more customers. Because that's what theme parks do.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting you mentioned the Haunted Mansion, because during October, November, December, they turned it into Haunted Mansion Holiday, which is incredibly popular film. And as you know, one of my favorite movies of all time, Tim Burton's A Nightmare Before Christmas. So 3 months
come
of
on,
a year, that's a whole different ride.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I was not aware of that for the Haunted Mansion. Wow.
Yeah, if you ever really want to know, get as close as you can to being immersed into a cartoon, that is the ride to do it in, because you really feel like you're in the Nightmare Before Christmas universe in that ride. It's a blast. It's probably my favorite thing at Disneyland.
Oh, wow. So, let me get this straight. October is Halloween. Is Thanksgiving is November dealing with Thanksgiving? And then December is Christmas?
No, just the whole time is both Halloween and Christmas. They're just only, you know, everybody wants to go on it. It's super popular, so they keep it open for 3 months.
Oh, wow. That's pretty awesome. I did not know that.
Fantastic.
Disney, don't tear down the Haunted Mansion. That's awesome. Don't tear it down.
Yes. And if I may quote the Haunted Mansion in my personal favorite line, your cadaverous pallor betrays an aura of foreboding, almost as though you sense a disquieting metamorphosis. Sorry, that's my favorite line in the whole ride. I've been on it a couple times.
Oh, nice. But also on some Marvel film news, Marvel has finally casted Captain Marvel.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, she was rumored for the movie about a month ago, but it has now been confirmed that recent Oscar winner Brie Larson will be playing Captain Marvel.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
If a lot of you are not aware of Brie Larson, go rent the film Room, and you'll see that she has the acting chops to play Carol Danvers. I think she's a great choice.
Yeah, that sounds awesome to me. You know, we talk a lot about Marvel movies on here, and Captain Marvel is something that I've been wondering about for quite a while.
Yeah, and it seems like with Marvel, they always tend to hit it almost, or if not out of the ballpark, with casting the main leads for their Marvel films. I'm guessing you saw Captain America: Civil War, correct?
Of course, yes, absolutely.
What did you think of Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther?
I thought he completely nailed it.
Yeah, I completely agree, too. I thought he was one of the best parts of that film. And, like I said, Marvel nails it. Also, as we're talking about Civil War, I thought the guy that they got to play Spider-Man, Tom Holland, was fantastic also.
Yeah. No, agreed. They set that up really well. Yeah, it was all around. It was pretty awesome looking.
So as we're sticking in the Disney, you know, family, I wanted to bring up some news. This is for my friend Lauren. Hi, Lauren. Lauren's listening. Hi, Lauren.
Thanks for tuning in, Lauren.
This is some Mary Poppins news. As you know, they're doing a sequel to Mary Poppins, and
yes,
Emily Blunt is playing Mary Poppins. There's two casting news that are going on. Have you heard of Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Does not sound familiar.
He created the play Hamilton.
Oh, okay, sure.
He actually just signed on to play the male lead in this film, and he's going to be writing original songs for the film as well.
Wow. Okay, that sounds amazing. Now, you may or may not know this, Joel, but a little Mark A. Johnson insider information. My favorite female movie character of all time is Mary Poppins. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope they nail this one, because that's a big – that film had a big influence on my creativity and how I approach filmmaking and so on.
So, oh, really? Wow, I didn't know that. Mary
Poppins, big
really?
Mary Poppins guy. Yeah, it's just my all-time favorite female film character.
You know, I can kind of see that with the way you present yourself, your mannerisms. I can kind of see that.
Really? Well, that's good to know. Yeah, especially I carry that parrot umbrella around with me and how I fly through the air. That's, you know, I got that all from Mary.
Yeah, I don't consider that fantastic. I call that witchcraft, and we're going to have a talk later. But
well, you know,
that's not only the other big news. Meryl Streep is in talks to play Topsy, the cousin of Mary Poppins, in the film.
Oh, wow. Okay. Jeez, that's an awesome addition to the cast.
Yeah, it looks like it's shaping up pretty well. And the director of Into the Woods, that recent Disney musical, they're getting the director of that film, Rob Marshall, also the producers and the screenwriters of that film. So they're literally getting the people behind the scenes from Into the Woods onto the Mary Poppins Returns film.
Wow, how fun is that? Now, is there any rumors about Julie Andrews making any sort of appearance or anything like that? Disney's usually really good about that.
I'm not sure. I've been trying to find out about that because I think it would just be a great nod. I always thought maybe Mary Poppins Returns would be like have her like come in and just like an uncredited cameo where like she just makes an offhand comment like, wow, that looks familiar. You know, just something offhand like that, like maybe she witnesses Mary Poppins doing something and then says, oh, that looks familiar, then just walks away.
Yes, or something is practically perfect. That would be awesome.
Oh, yes, that would. some other film news. I did want to talk about this. Switching to different comic book film news, as you know, Ben Affleck will be writing and directing a solo Batman film.
Oh,
but
wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, crap. I thought I told you one time. My bad. Sorry,
you
guys.
Have, but
Mr. Hall.
Sometimes we
Mr. Hollywood.
The best circumstance.
Mr. Oh, you mean at the Hitcher Post? Yes.
free commercial.
But,
all right.
Free commercial. You're welcome, Shiloh. I wanted to bring up a rumored storyline. Apparently, the rumored storyline is it might take place entirely in Arkham Asylum.
Nice. Oh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be brilliant. It would be also cost-sensitive, and it would be a more intimate movie, because as we all know, Ben Affleck, in my opinion, and I've said this numerous times on the show, he is a fantastic director.
Oh, he can make movies. Yeah, I mean, he has proven again and again that he makes great movies.
Oh, and I also wanted to bring this up as we're talking about Ben Affleck. All you internet smarts, you know, all you people that were like saying Ben Affleck was going to ruin Batman vs. Superman. Well, guess what? Newsflash. He was the best part of the movie. So I hope you guys are eating crow.
Again, the opinions that are expressed by Joel. Okay, never. We don't need to go over that again.
Yeah.
It's all good, man. No,
sorry,
the majority of the opinions I've heard.
I had to get that out of my system.
Yeah, you get to say I win. The majority of opinions I've heard, though, all say that he did a great job. So, I think he was correct on this aspect.
Yeah, he was the best part of that film because he played Batman so differently, and what was great about the film was, you know, his costume, when he wore the Batman costume, he didn't do like a rapsy voice. It was like more computer generated due to the costume.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to mask his voice. So I thought that was a nice touch. But I just had to let all those, you know, little internet trolls know that, well, guess what? You know, you guys were wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You know what? Interestingly, talking about Batman, Mr. Music and I last night watched, because it was the day it was released, Batman the Killing Joke.
How was that?
I loved it. I thought it was a blast. I think Mark Hamill's a genius. But it was a lot of fun. I want to thank Jeff for making me watch that, because I really enjoyed it. It was good. I say you watch it.
That's awesome. See, I was going to go see it, but, you know, I had other plans. But I just heard it was a great animated Batman film. And it seems like...
It was fun.
It seems like all animated Batman films tend to outshine the live action. Like, for me, Batman, The Mask of the Phantasm, is one of my favorite Batman films of all time.
It's a classic, absolutely. Yeah, it was very good.
So, I wanted to... This is, like, one of my last Hollywood news. There is a show on HBO that's going to be premiering soon in October called Westworld.
Yeah,
a lot of people are not. Oh, so you know about it?
I do, but tell the audience.
So basically, the show is set at the intersection of the near future and the reimagined past, and it explores a world in which every human appetite, no matter how noble or depraved, can be indulged. It comes from the minds of J.J. Abrams and Jonathan Nolan. Jonathan Nolan, if you guys are not aware of, is the brother of Christopher Nolan, and he helped Christopher Nolan write The Dark Knight, The Dark Knight Rises, Interstellar, and he's actually assembled a cast list that reads like a who's who. Anthony Hopkins, Ed Harris, Evan Rachel Wood, James Marsden, Jeffrey Wright, Clifton Collins Jr., Ben Barnes, Shannon Woodward, Sandy Newton, Jimmy Simpson. I mean, this is a legit cast for a TV show.
Yeah. Sounds like you can't go wrong. I mean, that's impressive. If only I was in it, it'd be the perfect film or perfect show.
Well, you would probably play a homeless cowboy.
Exactly. That's what I was going for right there. I've been reading, you know, doing some behind the scenes reading and practicing watching myself on video playing a homeless cowboy. So, you know, but they still didn't find me. But yeah, it sounds like it's going to be awesome. And looking forward to that. There's more and more of these shows, TV shows on pay television. You know, and some of them are good and some of them are not so good, but I'll talk a little bit about one I've been watching and I've been enjoying, and it's called Roadies. And it's all about...
What is it called?
Backstage. Roadies. It's all about...
Oh, Roadies!
Backstage,
yes.
Yeah. It's really good. I have gotten through 5 episodes and I've enjoyed every one of them. A lot of fun. Some great characters and some great dialogue.
Hey, a fun story. Luke Wilson's in that movie. He actually filmed the movie up the street from my house when I was like 12. I was able to meet him. I have literally a photo of him, you know, framed, and it says, "To Joel, it was a pleasure to meet you, Luke Wilson." And I was able to have like, not like a walk-on role, but I'm like extra in the background walking up the street while like a car is driving down.
That's very nice. That's how you first got started in your Hollywood career, man. That's awesome.
Yes, it was really cool. It was like a little film that, like, I don't remember the film off the top of my head, but it was a little film, and I got to meet him. He was a super nice guy. Really super
That's
nice
great.
Guy down to earth. I got to go sit in his trailer and talk to him, and he was just
That's
really
great.
Just down to earth. Down to earth, yeah,
mm-hmm.
just... So that's why I watch anything with Luke Wilson, because he was just, you know, just a really super nice guy.
Yeah, I'm very much that way with Amber Heard and some other, Ashley Green and some other folks. If they're in it, I'm watching it just because of personal interaction. You learn to like these people so much.
Definitely.
They're just folks like us, but we don't think of that way. We're like, they're movie stars, but they're just people. And, you know, a lot of them are super kind and real fun to chat with. So that's a cool story,
yeah.
Man. It's good to know that Mr. Wilson is a good guy. I'm gonna wrap you up here, buddy. We just had a very successful kickoff of season 2, reboot, whatever you want to call it. Talk 34.
No. It's never a reboot. It's take 2.
Take 2 of Talk 34. I want to acknowledge we did miss Mr. J-Dub, Jeff Weister, but looking forward to next time. He'll be on to tell us a little bit of what's going on in the world musically. I want to find out what's going on with him personally. I know he's been in studio lately, so we'll have to ask him about that. And I know he's working on some new stuff with the Uptown 4 and some solo stuff. So, you know, we're going to have to spend a good half hour chatting with him about that. Yeah, it's fantastic. I've heard some of it. I've liked absolutely everything I've heard. And been spending a lot of time with J-Dub. He keeps following me around. He's a weird guy. But that's for him.
I can imagine him walking around like, J-Dub's going to be awesome today. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm joking,
yeah,
Jeff. I'm joking.
No, he knows. Yeah. He won't even listen anyway. Who cares? You know, nah, I'm just kidding. I'm sure he will. He's probably listening right now, and we just don't know it.
Oh, he's probably – no. Oh, wait. That's him looking at us in the studio. He's – okay. We should probably end right now. No.
Yeah, it's getting a little creepy. Okay. All right, man. Hey, Joel, thanks so much for your support and all the great questions, all the Hollywood news. And
always,
I want
man.
To say to all of our listeners and fans, thank you. God bless you. Thanks for coming on. We are Talk 34. And just watch Facebook for some new announcements. We have a very special guest we're working on right now that would be a pretty awesome interview if we land it. And you're probably going to hear more from Rochelle Henry in the near future, just so you know. But I can't disclose any of that right now. Joel, I'll tell you off mic what's going on in that, since this is your show too, my man. So
sounds good.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. And we certainly appreciate your patronage. And please feel free to message us, post on our timelines, whatever you want to do, contact us. Let us know how much you're enjoying the show. What do you want to hear more of? What do you want to hear less of? Unless, of course, you want to hear less of me or Joel, then we don't want to hear it from you. All right.
Come on. They love me.
You're a very popular part of the show. I'm getting kind of sick about it, to be perfectly honest. No, I'm not really. It's good for the whole thing. It's good for the whole show. So thanks, everybody. You have a great day, and God bless. Good night. Saying everything.